Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Thursday, June 8th. Do you know what day it is? It's today in sports betting. Did you see that NBA game tonight? An unbelievable performance by the Nuggets, by Jokic, by Murray. Interesting day on the diamond, and lots to look forward to tomorrow. Welcome to Today in Sports Betting. I'm your host, Doug Reed, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. This is a Sports Ethos presentation, and if you haven't checked us out already, please go to our website at sportsethos.com. You can find a litany of information there, podcasts, free information on wagering, DFS, fantasy sports across all the major sports. You can also get our packages, very reasonable. I'm part of the wagering group, and you get very reasonable packages for all those angles as well. Wagering, DFS, and fantasy. Before we get into the games and this historic NBA game tonight, let's do a little walk down memory lane for June 8th in sports history. 1968, Don Drysdale pitched his 58th scoreless inning, setting a record in Major League Baseball. It was broken 20 years later by Oral Hershiser, who actually pitched 59 scoreless innings, another Dodger. But Drysdale pitched his 58th scoreless inning on this date in 1968. The next year, 1969, Mickey Mantle gives his farewell speech at Yankee Stadium, and his number 7 is retired. One of the greats, not just of the Yankees, but the greats of all time. In 1977, Nolan Ryan pitched his fourth career 19-strikeout game in a 2-1 win over Toronto. 19 strikeouts. When's the last time we saw anything near that? A number of years. And it was his fourth of his career. How about this one? Interesting kind of fun story. I'd never heard this story before, but in researching this day in sports history, I think this is hilarious. 1989, Pittsburgh Pirates scored 10 runs in the first inning. 10 runs. So they're up 10-0. The Pirates announcer, Jim Rocker, says he will walk from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, who the Pirates are playing. They're playing the Phillies. If the Pirates lose, so they're up 10-0 in the first inning. He says if they lose, he will walk from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. Well, I think you know where this is going, because I wouldn't be talking about this if it wasn't going somewhere. Yes, the Phillies come back and win. So the Pirates lose 15-11. They score 10 runs. They get outscored 15-1 the rest of the game. And after the season, to his credit, Jim Rocker walked from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. Just a fun kind of story. In 1992, the New York Yankees' Steve Howe was banned from baseball for the 7th time. Obviously, some drug issues there, some drug use. Bit of a sad story, but interesting. Wonder how that would play in today's game. Don't think he would get his 7th chance. In 2001, after he won the Stanley Cup for the first time, Ray Bourque retired. Played his entire career with the Boston Bruins, got traded to Colorado. They won the Stanley Cup. He was an integral part of that team. And he retired on this date in 2001. 2018, a little more current. The Golden State Warriors win their third title in 4 years with a 108-85 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers to sweep that series 4-0. So a little bit of history. I still love that Pirates story. I've never heard that Pirates story before, and I think that's hilarious. They got up 10 runs. Their announcer said, I will walk to Philadelphia if they come back. And what are the chances? What are the chances? You're up 10 runs and you lose 15-11. Anyways, fun story. So tonight, on Wednesday, the Denver Nuggets took a 2-1 series lead in the NBA Finals, went back to Miami, tied 1-1, and won 109-94. Wasn't really a close game. Obviously, they won by 15, covered the spread. Spread opened at about 1-1.5. I got it at -2. Sorry, opened at -1, 1.5. I got it at -2. I think it closed about -3, maybe even not -3.5. And the total is about 215. So the Nuggets well over that spread, won by 15. And the total 203, so it went well under. But the interesting thing here is Jokic goes for 32 points, 21 rebounds, and 10 assists, so a triple-double. Jamal Murray goes for 34 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists for a triple-double. So both guys go for a triple-double. And why this is historic is it's the first time in NBA Finals where two teammates have went for a triple-double where they scored over 30 points. Dominated the Heat. The Heat don't have an answer for Jokic. I said this series is going six. I'm still going to stand by that. If you watch game one and game three, you think it's not even close. But the X factor, as I've said all along, is the Heat have Eric Spoelstra as their coach. And they're never done with that guy running the show. So I think they'll still get another win. Is it next game? Is it back in Denver? I'm not sure. I think they got another win in them. The next game opens up. It opened Denver, I think, -3. And it's up to about -3.5 now. Total 210.5. And I would actually back Denver at -3, even -3.5. I think Spoelstra could pull a game out here. But the way they dominated tonight from betting angle, I think you have to back Denver. So I'm not on it yet, but I'd probably be on Denver. It's up to -3.5, I think, at most books. If you can get it -3, I'd jump at -3. 210.5. I haven't been really playing the totals in this series. If anything, I would look to the under in the first three games. So Denver wins 104-93. They win by 11, totals 197. They covered the spread and went well under. Second game, Miami, who came in, I think, about an 8-point underdog, wins 111-108. So they won by 3, clearly covered. 219 is the total, went over. And then today, the Heat closed at -3, -3.5. And about 215 total. So they win by 15. They cover that and 203. They go well under the total. So I would lean to the Nuggets again. And 210.5 being the total, I'd probably lean to the under.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I think if Miami's going to win, they're going to have to slow it down. They're going to have to figure out how to slow down the big two, especially Jokic. They haven't been able to do it. Limited them a little in game two, but I'm not really sure they can get there again. So going to be an interesting game. Going to be an interesting game four in Miami, and that is on Friday. After that, they take a two-day break, and they go back on Monday. And if needed, game six is on Thursday, and game seven would be next Sunday. Going to take a quick break. Going to get the NHL, and then going to hit the 11 games on the diamond.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Stanley Cup Finals continue tonight in Florida, where the Las Vegas Golden Knights come in 2-0, leading the series. Looking like the much better team, won the first game 5-2, won the next game 7-2, was actually on the Knights' puck line there, which basically means they have to win by two. It's -1.5. I think I got about a +190 on that, so quite happy with that. This game opens in Vegas at +100. The home Panthers are at -120. The total is 6 at about -110. If anything, I would lean to the under. I think Florida's going to realize they can't play run-and-gun hockey. They're not going to outscore them. They have to slow things down. They have to grind things out. They have to stay out of the box, not stir it up, not give the Knights power play opportunities. And I think it's going to go under the six, but I would lean Vegas at plus 100. I think this is a coin flip game. And going back to Florida, everybody thinks the momentum is going back to the Panthers. Not really sure that's the case. Vegas has just shown they're a much better team. Better offense and better goaltending. Bobrovsky's played great. Sure, he's given up a few goals. Can't really blame him on that, but has been shelled to four. I mean, Vegas has basically outscored him 12-4 in the series. Neither game has really been all that close. So I think I lean Vegas plus 100 and probably going to lay something on that, but I haven't got there yet. On to the diamond. 11 games on Thursday. It's an odd week. Today, Wednesday, they had 15 games, and tomorrow, Thursday, there's 11 games. So the getaway days are not as short as usual, but it's a size slate. But I got to admit, kind of like on Wednesday, there's just not a lot of games I'm really on. There's just a lot of odd pitching matchups of young guys coming up, and or not young guys, unheralded pitchers, and a lot of games with really short numbers, which I just can't get my head around. So we start at 12:35 in the East. The Dodgers continue their series with Cincinnati. And you can get the road Dodgers at minus 225, the home Reds at plus 190. Total here is 10, juicy under minus 115. On the bump for the Dodgers is their ace, Clayton Kershaw, 69 and a third innings, 3.25 ERA, 1.1 whip. On the other side, Graham Ashcroft came up, had a few good starts. Everybody, especially if you're a fantasy player, was all over this guy. A lot of the pundits were hyping him, and he just hasn't really delivered. 62 and a third innings, 6.64 ERA, 1.6 whip, 28 walks. Way too many walks, giving up way too many runners. But Kershaw has been hittable lately, and I just can't lay, especially in Cincinnati, I can't lay 225. And the road Dodgers are minus 140 on the run line. That just shows you that the market thinks that the Dodgers will definitely win and win easy. I'm just not there. Cincinnati's been playing well. They're kind of in a, not a rebuild mode, but they brought up their big prospect recently, and I think they're kind of, you know what, let's just go for it. And I don't know. I'm kind of back and forth in this game, but the numbers are just too high. Obviously, the Dodgers will win. Obviously, Kershaw is a better pitcher. Obviously, Ashcroft is struggling. But at minus 225, like, that is way too high. I've said this before. I don't think I've ever laid that kind of number in a baseball bet. And the run line, yeah, they're on the road, so it's a run line, is advantageous, but I'm not laying minus 140 in the run line. So stay away from me. No real angles I can figure. Even the first five number for the Dodgers, it's at 3.5. I'm not going to lay 3.5. For the first five on the Dodgers there. Next game, 105 in the East, in Washington, where the Nationals host the Diamondbacks. You can get the road D-backs at minus 150, the home Nats at plus 130. Total here is 8.5, juiced at minus 110 on both sides. For the Nationals, you get Josiah Gray, who has 6-7 innings, 3.09 ERA, 1.42 whip. A good prospect. He's only struck out 55 batters in 67 innings, and which is a little surprising given his stuff, but he's also walked 33 batters, which is way too many. That's why his ERA is just under 1.5 per inning. Merrill Kelly, on the other hand, has had a very good year. 70 and two-thirds innings, 2.8 ERA, 1.08 whip, 77 strikeouts. I never really thought of, or I don't really think of him, and he hasn't really been a strikeout kind of pitcher, but he's averaging more than one strikeout per inning. So good year for him. But at minus 150 on the money line, I can't really back the D-backs. At plus 110 on the run line, maybe I have a lean there. But, you know, the D-backs just surprised me. That I think they stand first in the West, in the NL West right now. Having a good year, a lot of good prospects. Their pitchers have been doing well. I just don't think I can back them on a pretty small run line of only plus 110. I like them to win. Don't like them at minus 150. Don't necessarily like them at plus 110. If I was getting plus 120, plus 125 in the run line, maybe, or if I was getting a minus 125, 130 in the money line, I would look there as well. So another stay away from me. Next game, 210 in the East, we travel to Milwaukee, where the Brewers are facing the Baltimore Orioles. You can get the road Orioles as the favorite at minus 120, the home Brewers at plus 100. Total here is 9, just the under at minus 115. So obviously money coming in on the under. And not really on this game. I'm seeing a lot of money coming in on the Orioles. Opened at minus 110. It's up to minus 120. 58% of the bets, but 89% of the money is coming in on the O's. Kyle Bradish starts for Baltimore. 48 innings, 4.13 ERA, 1.35 WHIP. Decent prospect, decent numbers. The Orioles' bats have slowed down recently, and they're on the road, which I can't really back or don't really want to back. And Colin Ray for Milwaukee has definitely struggled. 47 and third innings, 4.9 ERA, 1.27 WHIP. He is, when I pull up his game, pull up his game logs, he has not done well. Well, his numbers on the year aren't that strong, and he hasn't really done that well lately. His last game at Cincinnati, 5 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, but it's at Cincinnati. Before that, against the Giants. The Giants have been hitting well, though, at home. 6 innings, 5 hits, 4 earned runs. Part of that against Houston, a good outing, 5 and a third innings, 4 hits, no earned runs. Before that, 3 and 2/3 against Kansas City, 6 hits, 4 earned runs. The interesting thing, so he pitched well against Houston. He didn't pitch well against Kansas City, San Francisco, or Cincinnati. The interesting thing is Milwaukee's 4-0 in those games. Read that as you may. What does that mean? Doesn't really mean anything. He didn't pitch well. They managed to come back and get a win. So I'm not really sure which way to go here. I don't necessarily want to back Kyle Bradish. I think he's a decent prospect, but his numbers don't give me a lot of confidence. And his recent numbers, he's been doing well lately. Lost last game to San Francisco, where he pitched 4 innings, 7 hits, 3 earned runs. They lost 4-0. Prior to that against Texas, a very good offense, pitched 6 2/3, 4 hits, 1 earned run, and they won 3-2. Before that against the Yankees, obviously good offense, 5 innings, 7 hits, 4 earned runs. Before that against the Angels, 6 2/3, just give up 1 earned run. Against Pittsburgh before that, 6 innings, 3 hits, no earned runs. So he's been, I don't want to say hot and cold, but kind of inconsistent. And at minus 120 on the road, it's probably the way to go. If anything, I'm going to lean to the O's and lean to Bradish. You can get them on the run line at plus 140. It's a nice price, but not really sure I want to back them by winning by 2 runs. So, again, another stay away from me. This is a tough card, I think, today. And sometimes when you're wagering in any sport, but especially in baseball, if you don't see any value, you don't see anything you like, just don't force it. I mean, baseball averages 10 games a night over seven nights a week or 7 days of the week. And sometimes you see a card and there's nothing there for you. And it's kind of, I've got a few props coming up, but I don't really have any signs or totals I really like. Just to me, this is just a tough card or a tough slate. And not a lot of value that I can find. So sometimes the best thing to do is just keep that wallet in your pocket and don't lay any money on games you don't like. Next game, 310 in the East. We are in Colorado. And the Giants continue their series there. You can get the road Giants at minus 190 on the money line. The home Rockies at plus 180. Total here is 11.5. Just to be over at minus 120. Alex Cobb is on the hill for the Giants. Comes in 6-9, 2/3 innings, 2.71 ERA, 1.32 WHIP, having a good year. Walking a little too much, 18 batters and 69 and two-thirds innings, but also given up a little too many hits. So that 1.32 whip is not all that impressive. Chase Anderson comes in for Colorado, 15 two-thirds, 1.72 ERA, 1.09 whip. Can't really read anything that Colorado's struggling at home lately, and the Giants have been hitting really well. Surprising me, even as a fan of the Giants, surprising me how well they're hitting, but I can't lay minus 190. The run line for the Giants, minus 125, absolutely cannot lay that. If anything, the Rockies' run line, which is +1.5, is at +105. So as long as they lose, they can lose by one or less. You're still gonna cover in that. So if anything, that may be some value. I just don't trust Chase Anderson, and especially in Colorado. Stay away from me. Next game. This game was canceled last night because of the smoke, basically air quality in New York. The White Sox and the Yankees play a first game of the doubleheader. For the Yankees, you can get them at minus 165 on the money line. The road White Sox at plus 140. Total here is 8, minus 110 on both sides. And you get Lance Lynn going for Chicago. 67 and a third inning, 6.55 ERA. Yikes. 1.51 whip. Double yikes. He's got 26 walks in 67 and a third innings, but he's just given up way too many hits. But he also has 76 strikeouts. So he's been coming around lately, and I was actually on Lynn before this game was canceled on Wednesday. Different pitching matchup. He's not going against Luis Severino for the Yankees. So I was actually on the White Sox, and I think it was about plus 120. Here at plus 140, I'm debating it, but I don't think I'm going to be on it. Severino comes in just 15 to third innings, 5.28 ERA, 1.24 whip. Hard to get a gauge on what he's doing. But the thing is, the Yankees lineup is decimated with Judge out. You know, today they had Josh Donaldson hitting cleanup. And the bottom four of their order after Volpe, who I think they had hitting fifth, was really quite weak, and I think they'll roll that out again. So I'm not on this game because I think Severino can slow down Chicago. Chicago's been brutal all year, brutal against righties. I think Severino can keep this game close, and Lance Lynn has just been a ticking time bomb. I have him on my fantasy team. I drafted him as somebody I thought would bounce back. I mean, last year he had a really bad April and May, and then he was fantastic the rest of the year. So I'm still hoping that happens, but it's not looking like it's going to. So I can't really back Lynn here, especially going against Severino. And don't want to lay the minus 165 of the Yankees. On the run line, the Yankees are plus 130. Don't want to lay that either, because I think Severino can give a few runs as bad as Chicago's offense is. And if I'm wrong on Lynn, he could certainly stymie the Yankees lineup, especially with you got Donaldson, who is well past his prime hitting cleanup. And then there, I don't actually have it up. I had it up. Maybe I can find it. I had it up yesterday, and I just looked at their lineup, and their 6 through 9 batters were brutal. Not something that would be scaring a lot of people. Here we go. Where are the Yankees games? Yankees. Yeah, so Donaldson is fourth. Volpe's fifth, kind of hot and cold. Then they go Willie Calhoun, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Jose Trevino, and Jake Bowers. I'm not really sure that lineup's going to hit against anybody. So with Lance Lynn on the bump, I think he can stymie them. Can he get over some strikeouts? Maybe. But against Severino, I'm going to stay away. I'm going to hit on them in the next game of the doubleheader, but we'll get to that in a minute. Next game. 6 p.m. in the East, we have the Tigers in Philly. to face Zach Wheeler and the Phillies. The Phillies come in minus 250 on the run line. Pardon me, the money line. Tigers plus 210. Total here is 7.5. It's actually juiced to the over. So obviously money's at minus 120. Money's obviously coming in the over. And I think that has to do with Tyler Holden starting for Detroit, the lefty. 31 innings, 2.32 ERA, 0.94 whip. I'm pretty sure Tyler's going to be just an opener. And then we get to a pretty mediocre Tigers bullpen after that. Not just a, when you go to a bullpen game, it's not a matter of who the end of the game, end of the roster bullpen is. It's a full bullpen. Not really sure they'll be able to shut down Philadelphia. Zach Wheeler on the other side, 68 and two-thirds innings, 4.33 ERA, 1.21 whip, but 79 strikeouts. So he's been doing his usual Zach Wheeler missing the bat kind of thing. Again, though, just not in this game. I'm not laying 250 with Philly. I'm not laying 250 with anybody. On the run line, they're still minus 125, and they're at home. Total here is 7.5. If anything, I would look. So, total 7.5. Philly's run line, so they have to win by 2, is minus 125. The Tigers' run line at plus 105, plus 1.5 is plus 105. So if the Tigers lose by 1, they still cover that. If they lose by 2 or more, they don't. So there might be some value there. We just don't know who Tyler Holden is. So, again, stay away. I'm not really sure which way this game is going to go. The next game, trying to pull up. There we go. The second half of the doubleheader is the White Sox against the Yankees. And we've got Mike Clevinger on the bump for the White Sox and Randy Vasquez on the bump for the Yanks. So the Yankees come in at minus 140 and the White Sox at plus 120. And I'm actually on this game with the White Sox at plus 120. Clevinger's been hot and cold. Pitched well last game against Detroit, 5 innings, 3 hits, no earned runs, a walk, and 6 strikeouts. Before that against Cleveland, 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 4 walks, and 5 strikeouts. So not good offenses. Prior to that against Kansas City, 6 innings, 3 hits, 3 earned runs. At Cincinnati, 6 hits, 6 innings, 6 hits, 4 earned runs. Prior to that against Tampa, 5 innings, 7 hits, 2 earned runs. So a good outing there, a walk, and 8 strikeouts. And game they won 12-9. Point being is I think Clevinger, he's been struggling this year, but I think he has ability to keep the Yankees. And again, that lineup, if they're going with the second game of a doubleheader, so Donaldson's probably not going to play. He's probably not going to go back-to-back. So look at their lineup here for the Yankees. You have Aaron Judge out. You're going in a doubleheader. Gleyber Torres is a hit and leadoff. He could play both games. Stanton, come back off an injury. He's hitting number 2. He's probably not playing both games. Rizzo, coming off but missed a few games of back injury. He's probably not playing both games. Josh Donaldson, he's probably not playing both games. Volpe, he's probably playing both games. Willie Calhoun, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Jose Trevino, and Jacob Bowers. They could probably, probably not Trevino as a catcher, but Calhoun, Kiner-Falefa, and Bowers could probably play both games in doubleheader. And they don't really scare me. So you take out Stanton, you take out Rizzo, you take out Donaldson, I'm not really sure where that lineup's going to be. LeMahieu's going back in there, sure. He'll be a good addition. But other than that, it could be an ugly lineup. And I think Clevinger has the ability to shut them down. Not shut them down, but pitch decently. Randy Vasquez comes in 4 2/3 innings. So his numbers are kind of irrelevant. Going against a White Sox lineup that has been struggling, but game 2 of a doubleheader, I just think Clevinger is a better pitcher than Vasquez. The White Sox lineup is not better than the Yankees, but taking Judge out and taking all their veterans out for game 2, putting LeMahieu back in, I think I like Chicago better in game 2. So that is one game I am on. Going to grab, where did I get the White Sox? Plus 130. on score bet, plus 120 on DraftKings. I'd take him there, plus 120 in FanDuel. I think I would take him there as well. Next game, in Toronto, the Astros continue their series against the Jays. Just trying to pull this game up here. There we go. And I'm on a couple of props in this game. Framber Valdez starts for the Stros, and Jose Berrios starts for the Jays. You can get the road Stros at -125, and the home Blue Jays at +105. Totaler is 8.5. Juice to the under at -115. So obviously money's coming in on the under. Valdez, 79 innings, 2.16 ERA, 84 strikeouts, 1.03 WHIP. So over a strikeout and inning. And that's a prop I'm going to get to in a second. Berrios, on the other hand, 71 and a third innings, 3.66 ERA, 1.25 WHIP, and 68 strikeouts, so just under a strikeout per inning. And I'm on the strikeout props for both these pitchers. I'm on Valdez over 5.5 strikeouts. That's at +130 on DraftKings. And I'm on Berrios over 4.5 strikeouts. That's at -120 on DraftKings. And why? The number one team in strikeouts per nine innings in Major League Baseball is Houston, 9.67. So they're striking out over once per inning. Number two team, Toronto, 9.61. So both teams are striking out over once an inning. And I think both these pitchers, Valdez has to go basically, you know, if it's once, if it's a strikeout earning and his prop is 5.5, he needs to get to, where are we here? He needs to get to about 5 or 6 innings, which I think he can definitely do. When I pull up his, when I pull up his stats for the year, the Stros let him go deeper in games, and I think he can definitely get to 5 or 6 innings, strikeout an inning, he cashes this prop. In his last number of games, he's went against Angels, 7 innings, 92 pitches. 6 innings against Oakland, 95 pitches. 9 innings complete game against Oakland, 104 pitches. Part of that, just 4 innings, 91 pitches against the Cubbies. 8 innings against the Angels. 6 innings against San Francisco before that. So, when I look at, you know, in his last, he went 7 innings, 6, 9, 4, 8, 6, 7, 7, 6, 7, 7. Point is, the Stros are letting him go 6 to 7 innings. If he can get there, strikeout an inning, he cashes his 5.5 strikeout prop. Berrios, on the other hand, started out, continued his incredibly ugly 2022 season to start the year. But he seems to have righted the ship a fair bit recently. And I don't know that he's going to shut the Stros down, but as long as he doesn't get blown up. So in his last few games, he went 6 innings, 6 strikeouts, 5 against the Mets, 5 2/3 against Minnesota, 5 strikeouts, 7 innings, 5 strikeouts against the Tampa. Very good offense. 6 2/3 against the Yankees. Very good offense. 8 strikeouts. Prior to that, 5 2/3 against Atlanta, just 3 strikeouts, which is odd because they're a good strikeout team. But before that, 6 1/3 against Pitt, 7 strikeouts. So he's getting that strikeout inning, and Houston strikes out a lot. So again, if he can get to 4.5 Ks he needs, if he can get through 5 innings, I think he should be able to get there. So I know it's not a perfect linear measurement kind of thing, but both these guys are kind of striking out batter inning. They can both get into the fifth inning. I think they can hit these props because both teams, Atlanta's, Houston's the number one strikeout team in baseball, and the Jays are number two. So I think they should be able to get these. We will see. Next game in third last game of the night, 7-10 in the East, the Guardians of Cleveland face the Red Sox. The Guardians at home are -115. The Rogue Red Sox -105. Total here is 8.5. Juice -110 on either side. And Matt Dermody pitches for Boston. The lefty, his first game of the year. He's pitched a few innings in the majors. No idea what to expect. Pretty sure this is an opener. And going to be an opener, so no real angle there. Aaron Civale pitches for the Guardians. just 17 two-thirds innings, 2.04 ERA, 1.08 whip, pitched well in his last game back from injury, hadn't pitched since April. And I kind of like the Guardians, but at minus 115, not really sure I'm going to back that. I don't really trust Savali, to be honest with you, all that well. I mean, he's pitched well. We have no idea who Dermody is, and we have no idea what the bullpen game is going to be. So just too many question marks, and oftentimes when I look at games like this and have question marks, I just move on. Easiest way to do it. Next game, which is definitely the pitching matchup of the night, in Atlanta, where the Mets are in town. And we have Spencer Strider and the Braves at minus 175. You have Justin Verlander and the Mets at plus 150. Total is 8.5, juicy over at minus 115. Strider comes in 6-9 and 2/3 innings, 2.97 ERA, 1.00 whip. Verlander, on the other hand, comes in 36 innings, 4.25 ERA, and a 1.14 whip. My angle here is I like Verlander over 5.5 Ks, mostly because I think, Houston and Toronto are the number one and two strikeout teams in Major League Baseball per nine. Guess who's number three? Atlanta at 9.58, so 9.6 strikeouts per game. I think Verlander has the ability to go 5, 6, 7 innings. And again, if he's striking out one batter per inning, and the way Atlanta strikes out, I think he can get there. If he gets rocked early, it's going to be a bit of a problem, but I think he has the ability to pitch not deep into the game, so not really letting him go all that deep, but I think he has the ability to get through 5 or 6. And if he does, the way the Braves swing and miss, I think he will do all right. In his last few outings, 6 innings against Toronto, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 8 strikeouts. Before that, at Colorado, hard to really measure, 5 innings, 9 hits, 6 earned runs, just 2 strikeouts. Before that, versus Cleveland, a team doesn't strike out a lot, 8 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, so great effort, and 5 strikeouts. But they don't tend to strike out a whole lot. So, he's coming back from injury, only pitched, 2, 4, 6 games this year, and Atlanta strikes out a ton. So it's really more of a, it's probably 60% Atlanta strikeout ability and 40% Verlander, smart, veteran, experienced pitcher who can work his way deep into games and allow himself to get that strikeout total. Last game of the night is in LA, where Reed Detmers starts for the Angels, and they're minus 135 in the money line, and Drew Smyly plus 115 in the money line. Total here is 9, Houston minus 110 on both sides. The battle of the lefties. And Reed Detmers has actually pitched well. His peripherals show he's pitched better than his numbers, but he's 0-5. And I know we're not allowed to, as I said before, talk about win-loss record, because that's irrelevant in today's baseball. But he hasn't won a game. 15 2/3 innings, 5.15 ERA, 1.54 whip. He's got 21 walks, striking out too many guys, but 60 strikeouts in 50 2/3 innings. So he's been pitching decent. He just hasn't got the breaks, and I think he's in for some positive regression. Drew Smyly, on the other hand, has had a pretty good season, 5-3 in the win-loss record. 65 2/3 innings, 3.56 ERA, and a 1.11 whip. I like the Angels to win, maybe at minus 135. If this comes down more to minus 125, if it got to minus 120, I'd probably be on it. The run line is at plus 140. They cover the run line for me tonight. Not really sure they can do that again. That's a big number to lay for the home team. So stay away from me. And another game, I'm just don't know which way to go. So not on a lot tonight. I've got the Cubs and the White Sox in the second game of the doubleheader on the money line, plus 130. I've got some pitching strikeout props, Valdez and Berrios over their number in the same game, and Verlander over 5.5. Basically, I'm targeting the top three teams in strikeouts in Major League Baseball. The pitchers are going against them who all have the ability to strike out batters. So hopefully you enjoyed the show. Going to be an interesting game for the NBA in a couple nights. Going to be, I think, a great hockey game tonight. I'm leaning Vegas, but I think it's going to be a good game. I can see it being a low-scoring game, but it's going to be a good game. Give me Vegas a plus money. I think it will take the Knights. And not a lot of action in the games, but more so just a night of props in Major League Baseball. So hopefully you can make some money. Hopefully we can all make some money. And hopefully we can have a good day in sports betting.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.